and that's where this comes from. That's where Topo comes from. Sometimes disputed but widely used rule for predicting VHF, UHF transmission range and coverage is based on the so-called sometimes dissipated but widely used rule for predicting VHF, UHF transmission range and coverage is based on a so-called four-thirds Earth radius ratio. That is, the ratio line of sight transmission range would be the same as the optical line of sight that would exist where the Earth's radius increased by a factor of four-thirds. Now again, you know, I'm giving you some numbers here and you're going to have to visualize what we're talking about. Because they actually show an illustration, they show the Earth, the curvature of the Earth, the Earth's radius, and the four-thirds Earth's radius, and they're showing the difference between the optical line of sight as opposed to the signal line of sight. Because of the way the signal travels, where it bends, will go straight out into the ionosphere. Alright, so I hope you can follow what I just said. Unfortunately, I can't show a picture of this to give you a better idea. So, it goes on to say, and they show in the illustration, notice that the signal line of sight, and they show the different lines, they call it T1, R1, is longer than the optical line of sight, which they call T minus R. This range could be increased, as shown, and again, you know, they're showing, they're referencing it to an illustration here, so it's a little bit hard to convey this information based on this illustration that they're showing. But the point is, they're using this four-thirds Earth radius ratio. And it says sometimes disputed but widely used. So they do use this as a rule of thumb. The actual, signal line of sight, however, is not a fixed quantity, but varies with weather and atmospheric conditions, such as temperature, barometric pressure, and water vapor content in the air. The signal strength at a given receiving location depends on several factors, such as the distance between the transmitting antenna and the receiver, the transmitted power, the net signal strength of the group of signals arriving at a receiving point, and the amount of the wave is bent in the atmosphere. More than one wave of the transmitted signal reaches the average receiving antenna, although the direct wave is usually the strongest in the propagation of a TV or FM signal. Signal components may arrive at the receiving antenna after being reflected from the Earth or from some large object or being refracted from the upper atmosphere. So again, there's a diagram here that's showing you have a tropo wave from an antenna and you have a direct wave. And then you have the Earth's reflected waves. Now all three waves can actually arrive at the receiving antenna at the same time. And of course you're going to get phase differences, and you may get cancellations, and so on. So I'm just saying that, let's see if it says that. By the way, it's called multicast. Have you heard that term before? So, they show this example of multicast propagation, as I just described. A reflected single component, whether it is reflected from the Earth or refracted from the atmosphere, travels a longer path than the direct waves. And that makes sense, because of the of where it's reflected or refracted, so that's adding to the length of the waves from the originating antenna. These two signals may add to give the net strength greater than either one, or cancel and give the net strength less than either one. Therefore, it is possible that at certain locations we'll have weaker signals than locations further away. By the way, for information, there is absolutely no change in signal strength while I hear this, when I see this static, I'm watching the signal strength. That's not changing. A little bit better. I am running high power, by the way. Alright, luckily we don't have that much left on this particular power graph, and then we're apologize for these interruptions tonight. Okay. Alright, well, when the path taken by reflected signal is longer than the path of the direct wave, two identical signals will arrive at the receiver, one after the other. This will cause garbled sound or ghosts in a television picture. So this is the Blazer CBL Andy's Corner. I'm pausing because of the static that's coming through. I'm going to do something here just to, if anybody's listening to the repeater, just to clear this up a little bit here, because now now you won't be hearing that static, but at least I hope you don't hear the static. I just wanted to see how this works out so I can just finish up this paragraph. W-H-C-E-O. Alright, so we'll continue this and let's see how this works out. Luckily I'm listening, so if anybody has any questions, they can just come in. Alright, so as I said before, when the path taken by reflective signal is much longer than the path of the directed wave, two identical signals will arrive at the receiver one after the other. This will cause garbled sound or ghost in a television picture. For a short distance communication up to 25 miles, the VHF and UHF bands are very reliable. Interference levels and static are low, and fading is rare. Fading does occur at times at the extreme ends of the transmitted wave. I should say range. Fading does occur at times at the extreme ends of the transmitted range. It is often a result of variations in the amount of atmospheric bending due to changes in weather conditions. Sunspot activity also influences VHF propagation at the low frequency end of the band. The F layer becomes so dense that it refracts the lower frequency television signals back to Earth. This type of propagation is very rare and usually occurs only during the maximum of the sunspot cycle. During any part of the sunspot cycle, sporadic heat propagation can give long-distance television transmission. By far, the most common type of long-distance television and FM transmission is caused by an unusual amount of tropospheric bending. Alright, I hope everybody's following along, whoever can hear me on this. The range of transmission in the UHF band is not as great as the VHF. The higher frequency of the UHF band means that the signal is... The higher frequency of the UHF band means that the signal is more like a light beam. Atmospheric bending is less, and therefore the UHF wave does not follow the curvature of the Earth as readily as the VHF wave. At the same time, the UHF signal strength decreases more rapidly as it travels through the atmosphere. The UHF wave is more readily reflected from the obstacles and is less able to fill in behind a large obstacle than is the VHF wave. And they show a picture here of what that looks like. So if you have like a hill, you'll have a difference between the UHF frequency will actually skim the top of the hill, where the VHF frequency will actually bend downward on the other side of the hill and go down back to Earth. Alright, that's the illustration they're showing here. In this figure, the obstacle is a hill, and that's what it just says, and that's what I just mentioned. Notice that the VHF signal is able to fill in a little behind the hill, while the more concentrated UHF beam does not dip down as much, but continues on a nearly straight line path beyond the hill. The strong signal and weak signal areas are more pronounced in the UHF band than in the VHF band. Therefore, it is possible to find dead spots even in the primary area of the UHF station, which do not exist with the VHF stations in the same area. Okay, so we're just about done, and that was the little dissertation on that. So just to summarize, in the preceding sections, we have discussed how radio frequency waves is propagated in the sources that influence the radio wave transmission from the transmitting antenna to the receiving antenna. We also discussed the radio frequency spectrum and the characteristics of the various frequency bands. Now we're going to go into the next chapter, which is the antenna fundamentals. So that completes for tonight this little dissertation. I'm sorry for this interference tonight, and see what could be done to correct this. Stand by. So I'm just going to repeat what I just said. I am completed my little dissertation on VHF-UHF propagation for tonight. And then we will continue next week. We'll be able to see what's going on with the repeater. So Roy, back to you. And see if you can run the net in spite of what's going on. Thank you very much for guys listening, and we will continue. We'll talk about antenna fundamentals next time around. This is Andy's Corner, WHCDL. Go ahead, Roy.
KQFIU. Yes, George. Andy, I gotta call you real quick.
NY2H for Andy.
Yes, go.
All right, were you on the link? Is that what you did? Because we weren't hearing you out east.
I know. I'm trying to get around the static.
Will you confirm that so I know there's nothing wrong with the system?
Okay, yes, I would.
Thank you, George. Certainly thank you, Andy, for Andy's Corner. And yes, unfortunately, it's my understanding that Selden was down for about 10 minutes. I heard Paul in the chat, well, I read chat, Paul in the chat room, and Chris, K2SCP. So hopefully the link is reestablished, and hopefully people will be able to hear me through the noise, or at least most of what I say. Anyway, let's get back to the technical net. Thanks again, Andy, and sounds like you were issuing a challenge for me to kind of make it through this net. JC, Juan Carlos, JC2C had a question earlier tonight. If he's still around and would like to ask it, please hit that push to talk button.
If I can hear the stat, let me just say something, Roy. Okay, I'm listening to the, now it's clear. Yeah, I didn't want to do what I did. I just apologize for that. I didn't want to, mention what I did, but I just wanted to get around the static, and hopefully people heard, or most people heard what I was saying. So I did it reluctantly, but unfortunately the static was getting in the way, so that's what was going on.
Okay, no problems, Andy. Stuff happens. That's the nature of our hobby. If it was perfect, then we'd ask for a refund. And I don't know about you, but I'm not giving anyone a refund.
Okay, all right, thanks. I'm clear for now. See you next week. WHCDL.
Okay, very good, Andy. Thanks for the Andy's Corner segment. I look forward to next Sunday's with anticipation. Once again, if JC is out there, KC2TJC, we've been thinking about his DV4 Mini, VHF, and the question tonight. If you're out there, JC, and you still have a question, please hit the push and talk button. Okay, nothing there. JC will come back later or someday for the question. Again, this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra, AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'm net control operator for this, the Limar Technical Net. So if anyone has any technical questions still, if something popped into their head in the last hour or so, please hit that push-to-talk button, give me your first name and your call sign. Okay, let's move on to the science book segment. Anyone has any questions, anything related to science, medicine, what have you, as long as it's not a personal question about anything, feel free. Hit the push to talk button, give me your first name and your call sign. Yes, Wesley, you have a topic? Yeah, we talked about that last Sunday. I don't know. The long answer is, my guess would be it's a misinterpretation of written. Jay, you sent me that. Was from, so I could take a look at it. I'm not quite sure what you're alluding to. You sent me something on the 10th, but I did a quick check to see if diamonds are part of the 10th, and they aren't, so I'm not quite sure. Because the whole point that I was trying to get across last Sunday was that when these articles talk about teleportation, they are discussing teleportation of information from entangled pairs. Now, the entangled pairs can theoretically be anything. It's far easier to entangle photons, but you can entangle electrons. I don't know how the heck you entangle a diamond. That would be a neat trick. But my gut is that this is still the teleportation of information due to the entanglement of other particles. The particles themselves don't go from A to B. The information contained in the entangled A particle goes to particle B that's already there. That's why you see that they need things like fiber optic cables in order for angle the photons, because they need some means to actually get the other entangled photon to the other end of the system, and they use fiber optics. So I think it's a misconstruing an article's description of the subject. Because again, I am totally, utterly, and completely unaware that anyone is transporting diamonds like they do on Star Trek.
Okay, I'm quickly trying to get to that article. So the article that I have sent you is about quantum teleportation of qubits, but it also says about teleportation of particles. They are linked to each other. And if they say that if an entangled pair of particles is shared between two separate locations, no matter the distance between them, then cause it to be teleported. I'm quickly trying to get to the point where the entire atom particle and small diamonds were teleported. It is not that it is the possibility of teleportation. They were teleported. I'm going through that article that I have sent you, and I tried to see if there was a possible phrase. In that one, I don't see it. I might have it open somewhere, have a central place here. Right now. But I have some ideas. But first, I would like to ask you. We're just talking about the teleportation of qubits. You understand that our quantum speed, and you understand that speed is a piece of information, so if we have 0, 1, if I say A to the cube, it is non-cosine heat, and the other person is listening at the end of the cube, he's going to hear with delay A. But in the given time frame, I don't say anything, that's zero. I'm going to say A. And there won't be another A. There you go.
Wesley?
Go ahead.
I did a quick Google search for the term diamond teleported, and I kind of got what I sort of expected to get. I got titles that say things like researchers teleport information within a diamond. So it's not teleporting the diamond, it's teleporting the information within a diamond.
Okay, so you've got that one. I'll just send you the link on that one. I'm not sure I have it open. I just don't know which page it is. I have about 200 pages open right now. And I was just prepared for the second. But my question to you is, we say that we're dealing with bits, but now we're dealing with qubits. And we have a 44 kilometers, which would be approximately 32 miles, the distance, over the fiber optic. And then we have a teleportation of qubits. And my question to you is, how do you think this is going to be done? What have you thought about?
Again, as far as I'm aware of the science underneath all of this, qubits are quantum bits. They're information. They're not a physical thing. They're a state. They're, you know, is it up, is it down, is it one, is it zero? That's what a qubit really is. It's contained within a quantum entangled particle. And the beauty of quantum computing, which requires entanglement and quantum quantum interference and all kinds of fun esoteric topics that will get people, is that that bit could be simultaneously one and two. Electronic bits cannot do that. They're either one or they're zero. There's nothing in between. Quantum bits can be anything from one to zero simultaneously. It's a superposition of a quantum state, and then you run a quantum computer program, you collect the wave function, and you get the answer. In many examples, it's producing the product of prime numbers, which is part of encryption technology that's worth billions of dollars to banks and other companies. So that's what a qubit is. It's not physically moving a thing. It's physically moving information.
Okay. So physically moving information, then you're talking about teleportation, you're talking about the concept that you do at least 30 miles along the fiber optic. And from one point of the fiber optic, we actually pitch you to the and then from the other part of the teleporting the qubit. For me, it means that the amount of time for the light to travel from point A to point B is insufficient for the information to be able to be transferred by the photon. So that means that it's shorter than that. So my question to you is, if because of that answer, then because that they are teleporting instead of self-sending, because the time of the structure is too short, for one to disappear, the other one to appear, what do they need that hyperactive object for?
By the way, again, I think you're kind of misunderstanding the underlying concept that's going on. They're not transmitting the light from one point to another faster than the speed of light in a vacuum. That violates relativity, and it doesn't happen. They're using the fiber optic to take one half of an entangled pair of photons and at the speed of light in the fiber optical medium, shoving it in one end and having it come out the other end. What is happening apparently shorter than the speed of light is if they change one photon that's entangled quantum state, the other one flips in that direction almost instantaneously. That's what's happening. Information apparently is being transmitted faster than the speed of light, which is a problem. But the photon itself was traveling below the speed of light.
It's perfectly agree with you. But there is one point. When you're sending something from point A to point B, then there is a time for it. When you teleport it, by all means of teleporting, that you get from whatever the forces are, because this looks like possible. With the object from one side, it disappears, and from the other, it disappears. So my question was, if the object is disappearing from point A and appears in point B, would the hyper optic poor? So forget about violation of the laws of thermodynamics. And take shape.
Okay, once again, there is nothing disappearing in one place and appearing in another place. It is not a particle going from one location to another location. It's the state of the particle that's changing in one place and the other place almost simultaneously. So the photon you produce a pair of photons, there's a bunch of different ways in physics to do it. You can put it through a splitter optical crystal, put one photon through it, it'll generate two entangled photons of half the energy each. You shove one of them through a split mirror assembly through fiber optics to the other station, and you now have that photon there. If you finagle the remaining photon that's been entangled in your area, the state of that will also mirror the other one. So it's the state of the photons that change quicker than the speed of light, not the particles. The particles are where they are. They don't disappear, they don't reappear. They're already there before the experiment truly commences.
And I gave you right, but it is not answer. What the thing is that we call to the
because they wanted to test whether they could transmit a signal using this technology over that distance, and they needed a mechanism to get one of the pair of entangled photons from the original site to the other site in the other area to see if they could actually accomplish that. That's why they needed the fiber optic.
Do you agree that the information is processed and seen without transfer of photons?
Apparently, that's the whole thing about a quantum entanglement. Now, the bigger question, the bigger headache, and the bigger sleep is exactly why entanglement works. A lot of physicists are deeply troubled. Back in the old days, I remember talking to John, may rest in peace, KC2WGB. He kind of thought that it was all theoretical, but you could set up an experiment to show entangled photons in a college auditorium. It's not that difficult, but explaining it is much more difficult and kind of beyond the radio discussion. It requires a discussion of concepts such as locality and hidden variables and such. So it's deeply problematic, and if anyone actually fundamentally explains it, they can probably pick up their Nobel Physics Prize at the door.
Can I attempt to explain the object of the position?
Okay, if it sounds good, I'll post a letter to Sweet.
In quantum systems, the fact that all the way of talking data or transferring data from source information is not possible since cubic candidates retrieve complete information of say for the other end, and due to the short coherence at times of the quantum state, the transfer of quantum information from one point to the other, which would be quantum teleportation, is used. So, if you go to the qubit in classical systems, the state can be 0 or 1, and it's going to be. That means the 64-bit data can transfer 64 bits at a time. In quantum systems, the state can be in superposition. An example, simultaneously 0 and 1, and I agree with you, and that is known as qubit. That means the 64 qubit bus can transfer at the time it's alignment term, and that would be 64 qubits. But instead, it's acting the amount of 18 quadrillions classical bus. That's why the Department of Energy sees it important, and that is noted in Dirac notation that we use for the quantum system. Now, it is very much a kind of quantum velocity that is a physical phenomenon that is when a pair or group of particles in general that they interact or share spatial proximity in a way such that the quantum state of each particle or pair or group cannot be described independently of states of the others, including when the particles are separated by large distance. So, now we may see that quantum teleportation follows not one group, because quantum teleportation is a process in which quantum information at the exact state of an atom or photon can be transmitted exactly from one location to the other. So, with the help of classical communication, a quantum enlargement between the sending and receive location, it is happening. So, I understand that quantum teleportation is done from A to B by sending to classical B. That would be those measurements, and from A to B, such both must initially share entangled states, so that we be entangled important. In my understanding, this is that to both from, let's say, one third location, and that would be the first statement transmitter and the receiver from the right hand side. And that would be some sort of communication between classical channel and quantum channel. And classical channel would send 0-1, and quantum channel will actually be from the third location sending the information. But if we go to a little bit easier to understand the explanation for children in '60s in the United States, that were explained how the electron in the wire is able to go. We may go to the row of marbles. So we have a row of marbles, and when we touch the first marble, the last marble about 20 feet from the other end already knows that the first one is touched. Then we drop another marble, and then the last marble also knows that something is moved. But a physical marble, before it is moved from point A to point B, takes hours or maybe days. Depends on the speed. So now we're dealing with a situation where we understand that information is much faster than physical travel of an electron from point A to B. You can say that now electrons is a marble. Do you agree with that?
I'm lost entirely in what you're doing. You're not explaining it. You're describing it, which is by the way, there's no such thing as classical Q. Q stands for quantum physics. Quantum physics, quantum mechanics. It correlates to non-classical qubits, but there's such things as classical qubits. There's a big difference between electron velocity and current traveling charged particles and entanglement. The big problem is how to get information to theoretically held to the limitations of space-time. That information cannot travel faster than the speed of light in a vacuum. So someone somewhere has to figure out where we're wrong, and information can travel faster than the speed of light in a vacuum. So far, all you've been saying is that it travels faster, which is all well and good, but it doesn't explain how it travels faster.
It's like saying Mark killed. Mark is a killer, because the sentence is not finished. But when you say Mark killed the pie, that means Mark is not such a killer. So we took about half of the information given by me and based on that information. Also, I didn't say quantum physics or quantum tuning. I just talked about channel and quantum channel. And that's the big difference. But I'm trying to explain it like the 1960s for the children, why information is faster than the travel of physical electrons in the wires from point A to point B when we go to the explanation of teleportation. Okay. So, let's assume that when the first marble was moved with 0.0.0.0.0.1 of an inch, the last marble on the road 20 feet later has already got that information. And then if we say that those marbles are right now changed to electrons, and this is the story that he discussed in the 1960s. Before that electron moves from point A to B, it takes days or longer. So we're talking about physical transfer of change of mass between A and B, or electrons between point A to B, taking much longer than the information. So I mentioned is not immediate, but say almost immediate. And then, if we now try to think it this way, if the information is immediate, then how about if we have information about a qubit from point A, and that information, before the photon arrives to the fiber optic of 44 kilometers length, that information is already there at the end of that fiber optic.
Wesley?
Go ahead.
That isn't how any experiment has been reported. You cannot read the entangled state of a photon before you get it so that you can measure it. So it's a meaningless concept. You can change its state any place along the fiber optic cable, but the people on the other end are only going to know what state it's changed to when it arrives and they can measure it.
The last sentence, I had to stop.
Hopefully this is my little... They don't have the measurement done. Before the entangled photon, their lab, they do not know its state. Thus, the information is not available to them. So they have to wait until the photon reaches them before the information can reach them, even if you flip the entangled bit on the other photon right before you sent it out along the fiber optic. It is still requiring you to get the physical photon at the other site through the fiber optic, which travels slower than the speed of light in a vacuum.
Okay, by the way, 44 kilometers, 27 miles, that's wrong, not 34 miles. So, the quantum teleportation was achieved 90% of accuracy over 44 kilometer distance. How would you explain the difference between 90% and 100%?
The problem is that quantum entanglement is not a sure thing. Objects will spontaneously unentangle. Not only that, but just to confuse the issue far more, a lot of people... So there are such things as entangled particles, because by definition an entangled pair of particles are entangled for one quantum condition. It is possible to entangle two objects so that two quantum states can be entangled with them. And so you can have even more information. Things even do. That's that's the problem. Making entangled quantum pairs that well through the experiment are problematic.
I got only 70% of what you're saying. I was trying to make a sense out of it. But the quantum teleportation of the atoms is present at Utrecht University of Netherlands and the Department of Physics and Astronomy by Chris Jan Nicola. And it's the teleportation of quantum state of one system to the other. And it's made at least. That's what I see here. I didn't yet look at this. I was just quickly searching it. But what I'm trying to say is, here we go just to ironic situation. Ironic situation. Information is up. So, we're dealing with, let's say, electrical current. Distance of 10,000 miles, the information is faster at the end of the wire than the physical flow of an electron source. We could use that information, and I might be incorrect, but if we could use that information to recover the state of that order, that information to recover something that the information is about, then we would be able to actually reconstruct that what was sent 10,000 kilometers or miles before from the beginning of the line that we got. And since I've read about the teleporting of atoms, particles, and diamonds, small diamonds, and they say small diamonds, so you may repeat the search and say teleportation of atoms, particles, and small diamonds. Maybe you're going to get to that article faster than I'm able, because when I'm talking, I'm not able to type on the computer. We're going to be at the same page. Unfortunately, it happened that I don't have the page in front of me. I'm just looking out of my head all the time. So, let's say we take ironic situation, absolutely ironic. The information about small diamonds was sent by no matter what means. The information was sent from point A, and then the information at point B, which is the receiver part, was used to reconstruct the diamond. We have this high pressure. Furnace that can make the small artificial diamond, and now exact state of that diamond that is made out of the information is being produced for, let's say, another 10 hours. That would be, for me, a realistic, absolutely primitive way of teleportation information into that diamond, so that diamond is recreated. So when we look at the scientific, we see persons in some sort of cylinder, disappears, and then it appears in another part of the world or another planet. Would that make any sense, since we don't have any information sending how that teleportation is being done? And what actually moves me is not teleporting of information, but teleporting of physical body, an atom, particle, and small diamond. And to actually.
KC2GS, once again, I googled in small diamond teleported. Now I get this paragraph. Now a team from Japan, Yokohama National University, has managed something no one has ever done before. They teleported quantum information within a diamond, an achievement that could shape how we share and store sensitive information in the future. Teleporting state information. Unfortunately, I don't know where you picked this up, but you picked it up and you won't let go of it. That's okay with me, but again, everything I've ever read, everything I've ever seen, my basic understanding of how the universe works, meager as that is, does not explain teleportation on the base of quantum mechanical entanglement. It doesn't. It is an information transfer technology. That's what they're talking about when they say teleporting.
Yeah, I found something else, which is deterministic quantum teleportation with atoms. And that is by a number of scientists and the journal Nature for 1924-29, and it's a teleportation of quantum state that encompasses the complete transfer of information from one particle to the other. So, complete specification of the quantum state of the system generally requires an infinite amount of information, even for simple two-level systems used. Right. So, since I don't have the article in front of me, we may agree that information about the diamond. The question is, what information about the diamond? Would it be the number of atoms? Would it be a crystalline structure? And all possible information allowing to reconstruct the diamond from the other side, since we are able to create artificial diamonds. How do you understand that?
We have not. Technical aspect of a very, very that is diamond. You know, again, I don't know exactly what quantum aspect is being. The article might hopefully suggest it, but again, it's just information. It's just a characteristic that could go either way that can be used as an information bit. It's not the actual diamond.
I think I've got the same that article that you were quoting was scientist teleportation of the diamond. Hold on. Quantum teleportation permits the transfer of quantum information back. That's yes. Yokohama National University, Japan. The thing is that you can start getting to what information about the diamonds were teleported. Diamonds also individually contain but linked carbon atoms inside the diamond provides inaccessible space. Okay, so the carbon atom is a study in atomic symmetry, boasting an enclosed of six protons and six neutrons. The six electrons orbit the bonds enclosed inside the diamond. Okay, so now we should I understand that we have the information, we don't have a physical atom, we don't have a physical diamond, and we can use that information to reconstruct that ideally reconstruct the diamond. The question is, how can we change that information to physical coordinates that is going to reconstruct exactly the same diamond? And to explain.
Again, you're not getting information about the structure of the diamond. You're getting information about the entanglement of electrons and carbon nucleuses. And so some aspects of a carbon atom, its electron and its nucleus, its spin or what have you, can be one or of two states, and you're getting that information from the entangled micro diamond. You are not getting a plan to rebuild the diamond.
Okay. And again, I must agree with you. Since I don't have the article in front of me, and I can actually quote the dot. So I must agree with you. Then what can we do with that information?
Well, theoretically, you can improve latency delay if you can transmit stock numbers from New York to London faster. You can run algorithms and computer programs and skim billions of dollars to the point where people were researching the idea of rather than seeing. Right.